You're tuned in
to The Last Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to The Last Radio Show. I'm John Lynch.
I'm Jen Riley.
And this is the show where we talk about all kinds of stuff, news, history, pop culture, whatever we feel like. And yeah, this is definitely pop culture, and this is old school pop culture, because this goes back a ways.
Okay.
We're going to go down the yellow brick road. We're going to talk about The Wizard of Oz.
Over the rainbow.
Over the rainbow. You know, there's no place like home. All those quotes. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the movie The Wizard of Oz? Some people hate it. Some people love it. How do you feel about it? The original one,
Judy Garland. I'm not a diehard fan, but I have to say, like, I do. There are certain parts of it, like when she gets to Oz, you know, sure. And then the colors sure. from black and white to color. Like, there's just yep. some elements of it. And for its time, it's pretty spectacular. And I think it holds, you know, it's still.
It does hold up. Yeah. But for a movie that was made in the 1930s, it's amazing how right. you can still watch it. And the effects and everything still look pretty good. I mean, it helped that it was kind of like this fantasy land, so you don't take yes. everything too seriously.
Exactly.
But it definitely does hold up. That's a really good point. I'm kind of ambivalent towards it. I watched it when I was a kid. When we were kids, you know, it was kind of a special event when The Wizard of Oz yes. was on TV.
Right.
This was before streaming or before, you know, you could, you know, for a long time it wasn't available even on VHS or DVD yeah. or anything like that. It was just like once a year, like I think it was like CBS, I think, or something like that had the rights to it. And it would be like a big event and you like sure. kind of planned around it. Obviously, now you can watch it anytime you want. And you can watch it on your phone.
And, exactly.
it kind of loses a little bit of the magic when it's not quite as much of an event. But we're gonna talk about The Wonderful World of Oz. And now, it originally, of course, is based on a book by Frank Baum. And this was actually a series of books.
Okay.
He actually wrote the first book in 1900. So,
oh, wow.
You know, a long time ago now, and well over 126 years ago now. And there were 14 books in the series. The first one was The Wizard. So it was like Harry Potter kind of thing,
right.
almost. You know, it was this whole world he created. The first one was The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, that was the title of the book. It wasn't just Wizard of Oz. It was The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the original book. And it was basically the story that's in the movie is based on like the first two books. Actually, it's taken. There's parts taken from both of it.
Oh, okay.
He wrote the book was wildly successful. He didn't plan on writing a series of books, but they were just so popular. That they wanted more, and he kept writing them, and he, you know, kept making money. Almost immediately, it became like a cultural phenomenon. Like there were stage plays versions of it, like right away.
Okay.
And there was merchandise. People were buying costumes and stuff, even back right. in 1900, which is kind sure. of wild.
Maybe the first time that they merchandised.
Yeah, there was merch back right. in those days. And the first movie actually came out in like 1910. It was a silent movie, a short movie.
Oh.
Because, didn't quite work. You know?
No.
I've seen some clips of it on YouTube, and yeah, it's not quite as magical. And, you know, it doesn't really quite hold up as well as the 1939 one. But the moment that I think most people, when they think about Wizard of Oz now, they don't think about the books. They think about the 1939 movie.
Right. Yes.
Of course, Judy Garland, who was, the amazing singing voice, and there's all kinds of urban legends about this movie. And there's stories that are true. There are stories that are false. We're going to get into a bunch of them. But Judy Garland was 16 years old at the time, even though the character in the book was supposed to be like 9 or 10 years old. But she was actually 16 at the time. And originally they wanted Shirley Temple.
Oh, that would have been a different.
It would have been a different thing. She would have been younger, yeah. I guess, at that point, because I think she was younger than Judy Garland. So that, you know, but she was like the little girl actress that everybody loved at that time. So it made sense that, you know, she would be the one to go about it. So they decided on Judy Garland, and there was all kinds of really crazy stuff with her. They got on her case about her weight.
Mm-hmm.
And she apparently just ate chicken soup the entire time she made the movie, and they gave her cigarettes to suppress and she was 16, right. And they were making.
And I felt like uppers or something
and
too.
Uppers like, and like downers, you know. And I mean, Judy Garland had a lot of addiction problems, and it probably started on this movie, which is just, you know, this sweet, you know, movie that's, you know, about this fantasy land, and you know, it probably killed her in the long run. You know, I mean, it's kind of crazy. But they made her wear like very tight corsets, and they wanted to dye her hair blonde because they thought that would look good, which seems bizarre now. And there are some pictures online you can find that, you know, of her in it. But she definitely had a rough time. Another person who had a really rough time is Margaret Hamilton, who is, of course, the Wicked Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, probably steals the movie. I mean, I think she's the most memorable character for me anyway.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, and she was scary. I mean, she scared me when I was a little kid.
Oh, she was the worst nightmares. That was like the worst. With the monkeys? Oh.
Yeah, yep. And the flying monkeys, that's right. Yeah, her pretties, right? Go, my pretties. That was her line, right? But there's a scene early on in the movie where she goes away in a big puff of cloud, like a big puff of smoke and flames, and she disappears.
Right.
Margaret Hamilton actually got burned when that happened.
Yes,
she got like third degree burns, and the green makeup that she was wearing like reacted to the medicine they put. So she got like scars, and she was hospitalized, and it was just like this horrible, horrible thing. And like,
well, they didn't have the same like workers' comp and all of the unionization.
They were going to fire her from the movie because she couldn't work because she got burned.
And then what about the Tin Man?
Yep. The Tin Man Jack Haley played him in the movie, but originally it was supposed to be Buddy Epson, who was famous for the Beverly Hillbillies. He was the old man in the Beverly Hillbillies. That's what probably most people know him from. He was originally going to be the Tin Man. He had an allergic reaction to the makeup. It was actually aluminum-based makeup. So he breathed it in, and he like his like lungs collapsed because
that makeup was like he was eating it.
He was completely eating it. So I mean, the cast is lucky to have survived this movie
for sure.
It really is, and this is just in the early stages of like this is like in the screen testing. This is before they even like started like actually filming the movie. People were dropping like flies. But there's kind of another urban legend, which actually is true, that the guy who played the wizard, Frank Morgan was the name of the actor. Mm-hmm. He also plays the professor in the beginning of the movie.
Dorothy's the magic man.
You know, so because everybody, you know, in the beginning of the movie ends up being characters in Oz, of course.
Yeah.
But the jacket he's wearing when the props department like went to like get clothes and costumes for the thing. They went to an old thrift store and they wanted to get like an old worn out like top coat kind of jacket. And when they got it, they picked out one for him to wear. And when he looked into it, there was a name in it, and the name in the jacket was L. Frank Baum, the man who wrote Wizard of Oz. They checked with his wife, and it was actually his coat. And like, which is just like bizarre.
That's so wild. I wonder where that coat is now and how much it's worth.
Yeah, I don't know if they saved it. I hope it was saved. I know there was a thing a couple of years ago. They sold one of the original Cowardly Lion costumes.
Oh, really?
And it went for like an insane amount of money. And
the slippers are on display somewhere. I feel like I've seen them.
Yeah, and one pair was stolen. There was a whole thing with the slippers, you know, because there was multiple pairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually kind of an interesting trivia question too, because in the book, the slippers are silver slippers, not ruby red. But they thought they'd show up better on the color film if they did red slippers, which they were probably right.
Yes,
you know, that's obviously very iconic. The best song from the movie, of course, was "Somewhere Over the Rainbow," which you know became legendary and won the Academy Award for Best Song. When they were editing the movie, the people who were running the studio said, "I cut that out."
The song?
Yeah, they wanted to cut that out. They said, "You know what? You know that."
I have to be honest. Watching it as a kid, I was like, "I wish we could just skip over the song."
Kind of long. That part. It was a little long, you know, but obviously, you know, for the sake of history, it's probably a good thing they kept it in because it is quite iconic and, you know, probably the best, maybe the best known song associated with a movie ever. You know, that definitely is. But, you know, we mentioned a couple of lines at the beginning. There's a couple of things that have that are really kind of like known terms now because of this movie. We're not in Kansas anymore.
People say that.
There's no place like home. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yep. That's my favorite. Like, I always say that, the man behind the curtain.
Exactly. That is right. That's a big one. We use that in radio a lot. We always say that. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Right, exactly.
There's a lot going on. But, yeah, so that, you know, that was some of the stuff about the 1939 original musical. Which is interesting. It is a musical because there's a couple of singing numbers, but once you get like halfway through the movie, there's not much singing.
Right.
Almost all the songs are in the first part of the movie, the first half, you know, with the Munchkins and everything going on. So they've done a bunch of sequel movies and prequel movies, especially in recent years. In 1972, they did a Journey Back to Oz movie with Liza Minnelli actually voicing Dorothy. Which is kind of interesting because, of course, she's Judy Garland's daughter. The Wiz, remember The Wiz back in the 70s?
The Wiz, yeah.
The Wiz is fun. Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, Richard Pryor's in it. Very cool. Ease On Down the Road, that was the one.
Yep,
that was the big one. Did you ever see in the mid-80s they did a movie called Return to Oz, which is very infamous? Disney put this out.
I do, and I can't. I just remembered it for the first time in years, and I'm trying to think what it was. Were there little like statue? What was the premise to that movie? I can't remember.
It was basically Dorothy goes back to Oz, but it's such a dark movie.
Right.
They had these characters called the Wheelers, which were guys who had wheels for arms and legs and were chasing Dorothy around.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking of. It was something like abstract about it. But, yeah. Right.
And like basically the plot of the movie was Dorothy goes back home and starts telling everybody about Oz and they think she's got a mental problem.
Oh, okay.
And she gets institutionalized and they're giving her electroshock therapy.
What year was that?
This
the
was
80s?
In the 80s, yeah.
Sounds Disney, about right.
Yeah, this is a very 80s kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, and a lot of people they went way overboard with the darkness, and a lot of people hated the movie. They thought it kind of just took away from the magic of the feel-good of the other one. Although the original movie had some dark parts to it.
You know,
I mean, Dorothy killed a witch to start the movie.
and then
she killed another witch to end the movie.
And she melted.
And she melted.
Which
was pretty scary. I'm melting, which is another iconic line. You know, a few years back, there was the James Franco movie with Oz the Great and Powerful, which was kind of like the same plot line as Wicked. It was kind of like a prequel kind of movie.
Okay. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, but Wicked obviously became much more popular as a Broadway play. And, recently they did the two-part movie, version of it, which has done extremely well.
I haven't seen it. I'm so embarrassed. I have never seen the play nor the new movie. My daughter has seen it. I've never seen it.
She saw the play, your daughter?
No, she saw the I was going to take her movie. To the play, but I never got a chance. But she saw both the films, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good, you know.
I've seen parts of it, but I just it's a commitment. It's a lot of time.
Two movies is a long time. Yeah, you know, you're talking about 4 or 5 hours there.
That's right.
You gotta commit to it. So I want to get a little bit more into some of the urban legends that were not exactly true.
Okay.
So some of these, we actually talked about one of these not too long ago. We did an episode about Pink Floyd.
Yes,
and
right.
We talked about the Dark Side of the Rainbow. Now, this was basically that the album Dark Side of the Moon syncs up with The Wizard of Oz, the movie.
Right. Now, you said you did it, right? I've never done it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, I've tried it. You know, this became kind of a thing. It became, you know, the urban legend started like in the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
And that was when people had home video and stuff like that. Because Dark Side of the Moon was made in the 70s.
Right.
Nobody had like a version. Nobody had The Wizard of Oz to play it to sync it up with an album. So it didn't really make a lot of sense that they would do it, you know, because, you know, who could find this out? You know, they didn't know, you know, home video was coming. Streaming was coming, you know? So it didn't really.
And make you had to start at a specific time, right? Was that?
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, there's the lion, the MGM lion that you know roars at the beginning of all their movies. I think he roars like three times, and you have to like start the album on the third roar or something like that. And a couple of things do line up, you know, and they are kind of funky when you see them together, but it's purely coincidental.
Yes, sure.
it is purely coincidental. So we mentioned the ruby slippers, and multiple pairs were made for the movie, and one pair was stolen from the Judy Garland Museum. There apparently is a Judy Garland Museum. So So they had a pair there, and in 2005 they were stolen, and they were recovered in 2018. So they were missing for a long time, and you know no details exactly what went on that
or how they were recovered.
You know. The other, some of the other really dark things that I think this one maybe is the most popular urban legend from it, but there's a hanging munchkin in the background in one of the scenes. Yes,
was that true?
No. apparently, what it was, and this rumor started again when home video came out and people were watching the movie over and over again.
And stopping it.
And there is a scene at one point, I think it's right after they meet the Tin Man. So it's when they're hopping they're hopping down the yellow brick road, and I don't think they've met the lion yet, but I think it was the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the lion, if I remember the order when they met them.
I think so, yeah.
In the movie. Mm-hmm. And there is something that looks like in the shadows, like it could be a body hanging from a tree.
Okay.
Now this was when, you know, VHS was the format that people were watching it on, and they didn't always have the clearest quality. It wasn't HD.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just kind of a thing. What apparently happened was the set that they built, they actually had live animals on the set, like wandering around to kind of give it. There's a couple of scenes where you can actually see, like, real birds, like, walking by and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And apparently this was a bird, like, nesting in a tree, just kind of hanging out in a tree.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, it was a crane or something like that, just kind of sitting there. So there was no munchkins were harmed in the making of this movie. But the munchkins themselves were pretty notorious for being pretty rowdy.
Well, I read that was like a legend as well. Is that true? Like they said, they got a bad rap. There was like 100 little people on this film,
yeah,
right?
Sure, yeah,
they weren't all rowdy. Maybe there were two.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Judy Garland was the one who kind of perpetuated this myth.
Right.
She would, you know, you can find clips of her in later life in like the 50s and 60s talking about the movie.
Right.
And she just said, oh, they were all drunks. They kept peeking under my dress. And they were all, you know, they were chasing me around.
I know, that's terrible when she said that, to be honest with you.
But again, that was Judy Garland who kind of perpetuated it. So, you know, I mean, maybe it was true. Like you said, maybe it's just a couple of people. There's a movie that's kind of based on that called Under the Rainbow.
Okay.
This was a Chevy Chase and Carrie Fisher in the movie.
Right.
And it was supposed to be like a behind-the-scenes kind of thing of The Wizard of Oz. It came out in like the 70s or 80s, I think.
Right.
It's obviously it's a comedy with Chevy Chase, but it's kind of like tongue-in-cheek. And there was like a whole like subplot that one of the munchkins was actually working for the Nazis and was a spy, you know, because it was around the time of World War II. But
that's it's awful. Those poor people. They were like,
I know they were just trying to get some work, you know, there's a pretty famous story. And again, I don't know if this is urban legend or true or not. I couldn't really find anything one way or another. But Toto got paid more than each of the munchkins did.
No, really?
Yeah. Well, his trainer did anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yep. So Toto made the big bucks.
There's a lot of discrimination against those munchkins because there were all like, there was no persons of color in the whole, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like a crazy time.
The only person of color was the Wicked Witch, and she was green.
Right.
that was the only the only color in it.
Yeah.
But and you know, like we were talking about, like all the incidents with, you know, the actors working on it. There were no there were no rules. I mean, they just kind of made movies and like they're like, well, if you survive, good for you. You know?
Exactly. Kind of thing. We're just going to shoot you out of a cannon or put you on a hot air balloon, whatever.
Exactly. there's another scene in the movie where you see the Wicked Witch riding her broom.
Yes.
And you're writing in the, you know, I'll get you, Dorothy, or whatever she writes in the sky, you know, it does the thing.
Yeah. Surrender, Dorothy. I remember Surrender Dorothy.
There you go. That's it. That's it. You got it. Mm-hmm. So, but the stunt person, because it wasn't actually Margaret Hamilton, she refused to do it because she'd already been burned once in the movie. she refused to do the stunt, ride the broom, and the stunt person who was doing it, she got burned.
Because
it actually shot like fire out of the back of it to like make it look like it was fine.
And don't forget, there was no like special effects that they just added later. Everything was real.
The fire in the movie was fire. They really burned things and they really burned people, apparently.
Wild.
So before we started, you were talking about the spear in Las Vegas. That's been the biggest thing recently with it, right? They've done.
I've known some people that have gone and said it's absolutely spectacular. The what that they did and what they transformed it into, the apples are falling from the sky, and the tornado is like, there's wind, and it's supposed to be phenomenal. Wild stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is, you know, a movie again that was really ahead of its time in terms of you know, going forward with that. Now, the question a lot of people have been asking, because the Wicked movies were so popular and they did so well, is, are they going to do more movies now? Are they going to do, like, you know, because I think the Wicked movie, and I could be wrong again, because like we both said, we haven't seen it, but I think it kind of leads right into the Wizard of Oz. Like, it kind of ends with Dorothy's there, and they're off to see the wizard. Yeah, I think it does.
I feel like we should watch it, really.
We might have to do some research. We'll have to do a part two kind of thing.
I know.
But that's kind of the interesting thing, too, is, you know, it kind of, these prequels kind of recontextualize the Wicked Witch, because she's kind of like played like, you know, she was kind of pushed into this role, and kind of, again, I haven't seen the movie, so I can't really speak to it, but from what I've read about it, you know, her and the Wicked, her and the Good Witch, Glinda?
Glinda.
You know, they were friends, and then, you know, they got pushed apart, and, you know.
And the Wicked Witch wasn't so wicked, and the Good Witch wasn't so good. Like, I feel like that's the theme, maybe.
There's a shade of gray there that they don't really get into.
You can't do a movie after The Wizard of Oz, right? Because does Oz even exist? I thought it was a dream. Or is it not a dream? I don't know.
It was kind of ambiguous at the end of the movie, you know, because, you know, and you were there, and you were there, and you were there.
Right. So I'm is it a dream? I thought it was a dream the whole time. I thought that that's how it ended. She was dreaming it, but maybe I'm not.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, they did make the one in the 80s that was supposed to be after it, you know.
Right.
And he did, again, they wrote 14 books that took place after it.
So
there's definitely more material they could pull from. You know, they could definitely pull some more out of it. I think, you know, one of the things too, it's also probably been parodied more than any other thing. There's like Simpsons things, and Tom and Jerry did a version of it. There's a Muppets version of it.
There's
definitely, again, really held up after such a long period of time. It's incredible
how long. If you think about, like, the way, like you said, what it was 1920, when was it made? 1926, you said?
The original the book was written in 1900.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
And the classic movie was made in 1939.
So for the X amount of years later, for something like the Sphere, which is pretty much the most technological advanced venue, to be able to create something that uses something from 1930s. Yeah, I mean, it's
crazy. Like, I couldn't see them like doing that with like Gone with the Wind or something.
Right. No.
But,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't really quite translate as well as I think. Yeah. And again, like,
and I
like,
think what they had to do in the Sphere, because I read about it, is that they had to like recreate, because the film is only a certain size, you know. So they had to like actually create the like extra scenes, because the Sphere is a big sphere. It's a big, you know, they didn't have enough material to fill it. You can't just stretch it on it. So they actually, it was a big production to get that on the Sphere. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, and, you know, hopefully when they did that, they didn't like burn any people or anything like that. Hopefully they learned their lessons from the original. Thank you for listening to The Last Radio Show. If you like the show, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review on your favorite platform. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at The Last Radio Show. We will talk to you soon.
The Last Radio Show.
The Last Radio Show.